Celebrate today once again, Easter Sunday. What nice things every, I guess next year we're all on the same Sunday, but every now and then we get to celebrate twice and be reminded again of how great our God is. So it's fun to be reminded. I was awake at midnight thinking about all around Macedonia. I woke up, walked downstairs and noticed the time was 12:03 and realized people had just cracked the rakes. Anybody at the Orthodox Church last night walking around? Yeah, all right, there's a few of you out there. Tradition, Macedonia, Easter, night before Easter, you're at the church, walking around the church three times and you crack your eggs and say Christ is risen, and then you start eating the wonderful meat that's been grilled on the side. Fast is over and feasting has begun because Christ has risen. It's also a reminder that this country and others like it probably around the world, we celebrate Easter without knowledge, as a tradition, as an empty day, rather than knowing the truth of what God has done and believing. Believing the miracle that God has done in our lives and in this world. In fact, it kind of reminded me, I was watching TV one of the few times, actually, my mother-in-law was here with the kids and we turned on the TV in the evening. I think we were trying to see what's happening in the center of town. But you've seen the series, The Librarian, something like that. Okay, kind of sci-fi, travel through time dimensions and stuff like that. Anyways, this series, this one that I happened to watch, had them trying to rescue Santa Claus. Santa Claus needed rescuing. His hat gave special powers. In fact, at the end, one of the librarians had to put the hat on and do Santa's job for him because he happened to be sick or powerless or something that year. But what he said was, this is a very dangerous task because your spirit is going to be divided up and scattered around the world so that you can bring hope to people. That's the gift that Santa supposedly gave to people, was the gift of hope. And so your conscience had to be scattered around the world to everybody at the same time in order on this one moment to give hope. And that's what the world kind of puts the Holy Spirit, unfortunately, or even God himself into, this kind of mythical modern-day fairy tale where somehow somebody is in every place and giving something we're not quite sure what it is. And so as we've been going through this book of Acts, we've been talking about the Holy Spirit. We talked about last year, we preached through the book of Luke, and we said this is actually the Acts of our Savior Jesus Christ. And this year we've been going through the book of Acts, simply called that. We sometimes call it the Acts of the Apostles, or, as we're seeing, Acts of the Holy Spirit through his apostles. And we keep coming into the power of the Holy Spirit at work. The book of Acts starts off, actually, in chapter 1 and verse 8 with this command by Jesus to his disciples, telling them not to worry about when the end is going to come. It's not for us to know that. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And Josiah, Zach, whichever one of my children sitting over there, there is the verse. You will receive power. And so throughout this whole book of Acts, we've been seeing the Holy Spirit at work. First in the first apostles, the disciples, then in the group of 500, and then grew to 3,000 and 5,000, and actually where we are now in the book of Acts in chapter 16, all the way to Macedonia, where we are today. But today we actually have an opportunity to stop and reflect on the power of the Holy Spirit that's at work here. I could just say this is because of planning. I wanted us to spend this one Sunday here, but it's actually because last Sunday I preached through a whole chapter when I was supposed to preach through half a chapter. So it gives me this amazing opportunity today to focus on something that we keep mentioning and keep bringing up to and referring to, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives. So as much as I want to be a perfect, polished, and planned out preacher, today we get to have that extra Sunday to focus on something unexpected, which is good, because that's our Holy Spirit working those unexpected things in our hearts and in our lives. So the first thing I want us to notice here in chapter 1, we're going to skip around a little bit today, but it says you will receive. How many of you are believing and trusting Savior? How many of you are up here taking communion this morning? Okay, keep your hands up for just a moment. How many of you received the Holy Spirit? I don't want to see any hands coming down. All right, you have received the Holy Spirit if your hands are up on the first one. It says you will receive. This is a promise. This is the gift that Jesus said to those who believed. The moment you say, Father God, I believe in your Son, he sends his Holy Spirit into our lives.
We have this gift. You will receive. It's confirmed later on in chapter 2 when Peter preaches his first message. He goes from being the scared, runaway kind of guy who's denied his Savior to now standing up in front of those same people and preaching, saying Jesus has risen from the dead. You know it and I know it. He's changed our lives. And people convicted by the Holy Spirit say, what do we do? Remember that question? It was the same question they asked in Macedonia. The jailer said, what must I do to be saved? And because this is our God and our Savior, and there's one gospel that answers the same in chapter 2 as it is in chapter 16. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. Here it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be baptized, every one of you, in his name for the forgiveness of sins. And it says, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's promised. You believe in Jesus Christ, you have been given this gift of the Holy Spirit. So today's topic is the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've received it. Yes. So what difference does it make? What difference does it make that we have this gift of the Holy Spirit? Now we're coming, again, we mentioned it earlier, we're coming from many different denominations, backgrounds, understandings. But every one of us, whether you're a staunch Baptist from the deepest south, or whether you're a Pentecostal from the... Where do they come from? Everywhere. Doesn't matter. From the Holy Spirit. All right. South of heaven is easy. All right. Doesn't matter. You have been given the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit in order to do this life, to live this life that God has given to us. So this morning we're focusing on this gift that has been given to you and to me. This gift of the Holy Spirit. I've got to find the right page here. The resurrection is the foundation of it. Jesus says, unless I go away, you cannot receive this Holy Spirit. He was talking to his disciples, and in this going away precluded the fact that he was going to the cross, dying, and rising again. His resurrection, made possible by the power of the Holy Spirit, is what's alive in you and I today. So the first thing I want us to notice in here is that you will receive power. The next verse is going to... Slide is going to emphasize the word power and ask us, what power is it that I'm going to receive? Now, this is where we want to immediately go back to the sci-fis. Ooh, the ability to scatter my conscience around the world like Santa Claus and give hope. Or maybe the Avengers or Superman or Batman. I got power. That was He-Man, actually.
Power preschool.
There's lots of power that comes to mind when we think of this word and we see this. We think immediately of Superman, of something amazing like that. So what is this power that Scripture is talking about, that we will receive power? Easy. You just kind of do a little search of Scripture and look at power. The next slide here, we're going to jump over to Ephesians, and we're going to look at a verse here. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. You had it before I do, because it's up there for you. For this reason, Paul tells the saints, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power. Okay, that's what we want. To be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being. And so we say, this is it. This is, must be what this power is about. In my inner being, I'm getting strength. For what? To do what? What's this power that he's talking about? The next verses answer that for us. It says this. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what's the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the fullness of God. When was the last time you needed the power of God to understand something? What does power and knowledge have to do with? What does power and belief? You stop there and said, what do I need power in my inner being to know something for? Because this is not talking about brute strength. This is not power to change the world. This is power in our inner being to know, to be filled. What kind of power is that? As I was wrestling on that and thinking this through, and the morning I had my cup of coffee, standing there, cool kitchen, didn't have my socks on, so kind of chilled on the outer fringes. Holding my cup of coffee, and I pulled it in close to my chest, right there on my clavicle, and was standing there thinking, what does it mean to be filled in my inner being with the power of His Spirit? As I'm standing there, holding this cup of hot coffee, heat started to soak into my core. The core of your being gets cold. You're cold all the way through. Okay, heat in the inner, doesn't matter how cold the room is around you, you have heat. That you may have power in your inner being to know the living God. This is what we've been promised. This is what changes my life and your life. That certainty in the core of who you are, that the living God has been risen from the dead, that He's alive in you, that He's working in you, that you're His family, that you're part of Him. This power is to know the living God. We're so easy and so quick to jump to doing. I need power to do something, God. I need your power to go over here. Jesus promised us that His Spirit would give us that warmth in our inner being that radiates out so that the outside atmosphere has no effect. We need power to know the living God because without God revealing Himself, without His Spirit opening our eyes, we don't know God. We can't know God. One of the first works of the Holy Spirit is His opening of our eyes to believe, to understand. And so Paul is actually praying here for those that are already believing to grow in that. But the first step, the resurrection that must happen, is for you and I to leave our dead lives to become alive to God, to be able to see Him. This is talking about that relationship with Him. We were dead in our sin. We were dead to God. He was dead to us because of our sins, and the resurrection power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead raises us into relationship with God Himself. In Romans chapter 8, verse 13. This morning I'm jumping around a little bit. It's not something we normally do, but since we get to talk on the Holy Spirit, we're doing it. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 3 says this. For God has done what the law weakened by the flesh could not do. By sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, He condemned sin in the flesh. Now it says in verse 9, you, however, are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact God dwells in you. Anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to Him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit of life is because of righteousness is in you. So listen to this verse now, 11. If the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's the Holy Spirit, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to you, give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. This power that we're talking about, the power that raised Christ from the dead, is the power that raises you and I into relationship with God. We need the Holy Spirit's gift to know God. Without the Holy Spirit, we're blind, we're deaf, we're clueless to what God is doing around us. You will receive power, the verse promises us. When you believe, you receive. And you will receive what? You will receive power. The power to know in your inner being who God is. How many of you ever have those moments of wondering, do I deserve this? Maybe I've done something in this last week that says, God, I'm no longer really usable, don't deserve this, so go ahead and take your gift away. You had that thought, feeling of you've lost it? David prayed in the Old Testament, he says, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me, as he was reflecting on his life. But we've been promised the Holy Spirit differently than what David did. In the Old Testament, the Spirit was given from time to time to do what God wanted done, and then He wasn't around, at least in people's lives, in the way He is now, in every single believer's life, everywhere around the world at the same time, because He's God, and He is present everywhere. Because we have the Holy Spirit, we don't lose what He's been given to us. We've been promised. The Holy Spirit reminds us day after day that we are God's children. So as we reflect on our lives and say, man, I don't deserve this. Yeah, you're right. If you stop and say, man, I don't look as good as the next person, stop comparing yourself. You say, man, I could do more. Okay, so go do it. The Holy Spirit has been given to you that you can know the living God. If you sense there's sin in your life, confess it. That's the Holy Spirit saying, get right with God. If you think there's more you can do, say, God, give me the power to go do it because you're opening my eyes. There are plenty of ways to serve God and His church here in Skopje and around the world. God has given you something to do. If you sense that, go do it. Let us help you. You will receive power. It's a promise, and it's based upon that relationship that we have with God Himself. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you will receive. You will receive power. But it's not just that. It starts with receiving, and it starts with this power to know and understand who God is. It moves on into what God has called us into and called us to do. Because we received a calling. This power, this gift of the Holy Spirit, isn't just given so that we can have it for ourselves. It's to call us into community. In the verses right after Ephesians 3 that we read, where it talks about how we are strengthened with knowledge to know God, Paul tells people, urges them to walk in a manner worthy of their calling, to which they've been called. Because we know God and we live with Him, we're urged to love one another, have humility and compassion to one another. So by knowing and loving God, this gift of the Holy Spirit means I have to get along with all of you right here. Look to the person on your left or the right, one you're married to, or the child of yours, or the friend behind you. We're called to love one another right here. In fact, I'll give you 1 minute. Turn to somebody next to you and say, in Christ's name, I love you. Wake up. That's it. In Christ's name, you are accepted. All right. This is the truth. Doesn't matter. We are called to this unity of love for one another. Even across the aisles. Yes, you can reach across the aisles. We are called to this. Bearing with one another, loving one another, and remaining in peace. Because Scripture tells us that one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. As a believer, you are bound to other believers. End of story. Get along with them now. Love them now. Accept them in the name of Jesus. But we're also, it says, not just, actually, the reason, let's go for it that way. The reason this call to unity here is because that is our first act of witness. Jesus says, by your love for one another, people will know you love me. So as much as we want the world to hear the gospel, as much as we want to say, hey, listen to what I had to tell you, first of all, they're watching. Our first witness is loving one another as Christ has loved us. Caring, forgiving, not holding grudges, not speaking to somebody for days and weeks and months and years. Getting along here in the family is our first witness. Doing what Christ has called us to do. You will be my witnesses around the world by loving one another. But beyond that, this gift here, this calling that we've received to witness, goes on immediately in chapter 4 when Christ, when Paul says, therefore it says, when Christ ascended on high, he led us, a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men and women, to those that follow after him. And these gifts, it goes on and enables it out as apostles and prophets and evangelists and shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for works of ministry. The gift of the Holy Spirit. You have received it. It allows you to have the power of God to know who the living God is. It allows you to love one another. It's the choice you have to make. That's why Paul's urging it. And it is exemplified or spilled out into the church by the way God has gifted us to serve one another, to build each other up. So the question then is, what am I doing to build you up? What are you doing to build that person up next to you that you just said, in Christ's name you love? What are you doing to build up His church? That's the question that's going to hang over your head. What, God, have you called me to do with this gift you've given me? Because you have been given the gift, yes?
Yes.
You've been given a gift. So what does that gift look like in this body, in this city, around the world, wherever God has called you to come and to go and to be, what does that gift look like for you to build up His church, to build up His people? Because the gift's not just given to you personally according to this. It's not just something you have and you sit there and you take out at night and say, my precious. No. These gifts here are for witness, to go out and to share, to build up His church, allow His church to be this vibrant living organism that He wants it to be. In a couple weeks, we're going to be praying and laying hands on Brother Martin. He's going to be coming Pastor Martin here. We're starting to call him that already. He's been preaching here. But it's a special time of recognizing what God is doing in his life and leading and being a part of what God is doing here at the church. We're doing that with the other evangelical churches of Macedonia because we're under their authority here. Pastor Mirce and 17, 18 other churches around Macedonia. The ones in Skopje will be together here as we meet. Then the next week, as we transfer locations, we're moving to Hotel Porta for a few months as we look for a place we can have permanently as a church, and we're moving in that direction. But the next week, we're actually going to have the leadership team up here in front of you all. We're going to pray and ask God's blessing, filling in their lives, that they can be equipped to continue serving the church, us. Everywhere Paul went, as we see throughout the book of Acts, he appointed leaders, laid hands on them, and asked the Holy Spirit to fill them and bless them and equip them in that place where they're at. So what has God called you to do? How are you using these gifts that God has given to you? Are you pulling that heat in? First of all, I'm saying, God, I want to know you. I asked you last Sunday if you would pray through, last week or this coming week, Ephesians, these prayers here in Ephesians, asking God that he would open up our understanding to the knowledge of his will, that we would know him in this way. Anybody done that this week? Just see a ray of hand if you took time, prayed. Thank you. This week, do it. All right, this is a challenge. In fact, how many of you have a cell phone? This is more for the locals, but I'll accept. Everybody have a cell phone? You don't have to take them out, but yes? All right, I'm going to give you my phone number in just a minute. If you're willing to say, I will pray through Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 20. That's the prayer I just read for you. I'm willing to pray through that and ask for God to fill Pastor Brian and the leadership team with knowledge of him and understanding, and pray for it for yourself and a third party, somebody who doesn't believe or somebody who does believe. They would know God. If you're willing to do that, would you text me? In fact, text me. My phone's over there outside. Yes, you can text me right now and say, yes, I will do that so that I can follow you up this week and encourage you. All right? And sign it. Otherwise, I had no idea who some of those numbers are. 071. This is it. This is your homework. And if you're committing to it, you're going to write this down unless you already have it. Text Pastor Brian right now. This is your freedom to use your cell phone for something besides looking at the Bible in the sermon. 071-331-991. Say yes. I will pray. This week, take a specific time, pray for the leadership team and for this church, for yourself, using Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through the end there. I'll send you a little picture with those verses on, a beautiful picture of the church and the steeple. My wife already received it, even though she hasn't promised to pray. But she will. Test run. 071-331-991. Text me and say, Pastor Brian, I'll pray. You will receive power. It's a promise. Not based on what you've done or what you're going to do. It's a promise from the living God. A gift. Jesus himself said that we would not give our children a loaf of a stone instead of a loaf of bread. How much more will the Father not give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? You believe, you will receive the Holy Spirit. It's a gift, it's a promise. And because you receive the Holy Spirit, God is opening your eyes to know him. The power in your inner being to understand who God is. The only way we can know God is the Holy Spirit to open our eyes to see him. And so we ask. And I ask for you that you know this God that we serve. And we know this God that we serve, and it spills out into our relationship, into this church right here, into our workplaces, through unity and love for one another, by reflecting Christ. And it reflects in our gifts that he's given us to serve one another, to serve his church, and to serve our community. You will receive. You will receive power, and you will receive a calling. This Holy Spirit that we've been looking at is a person. It's a person of the Trinity. The reason it's so easy to ignore the Holy Spirit and why sometimes we can go, probably Sundays, if we weren't in the book of Acts, talking about the Holy Spirit, is his job is to point us to Jesus. So the more we focus on Jesus, the more we know the Holy Spirit's working in our lives, because that's where he wants our attention. But it's the Holy Spirit doing it. And so we recognize that the Holy Spirit is our Lord and our giver of life. Amen. We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ, his Son. And we believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life. Amen. And we need those. Three in one. We need him, the living God. This church is going to make a difference. Is making a difference here in Skopje. Because God is at work in our lives, changing us day by day. So ask him this week to open your eyes more, to give you that power of understanding in your inner being to know him. Let's pray. Father God, when we stop to reflect upon you, the living God, our minds can't begin to understand, our words fall way short of anything that could describe who you are, and yet, because of Jesus, we have words, we have an understanding. And because of your Holy Spirit inside of us, giving us this power to know you, we can begin to know you, the living God. So we ask this morning, Holy Spirit, that you open us more and more to understanding and knowing who you are. We need you, Holy Spirit. To lift our eyes off of ourselves and our own mistakes and our dead flesh, and realize that we are made new every day. We are alive every day because you are in us and you have something for us to do, a task in front of us. To know you, the living God, more, and to serve the community that you put us into. So help us to understand these gifts that you've given to us, whether it's prophet or apostle or preacher, teacher, whether it's simply giving or going, whether it's serving, whether it's encouraging. These gifts come from you, Holy Spirit, and so we thank you for giving them. We thank you, Jesus, most of all, for sending us the gift of the Holy Spirit. We are confident in that this morning, and we leave here encouraged. We pray that you would transform us as your people to go into this world and look like you. In Jesus' name.